I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show presented by KFC. I'm your host, William Liu. And joining me on this fine Friday afternoon is my fellow co-host, Josh Hart.
Hello and welcome to the show. It's back.
We're all doing the hello and welcome now?
We got you. KFC buckets.
KFC buckets. Listen, a lot of things have happened this week. But the one thing that does not happen, the Raptors losing.
That's fact.
Yeah. Five straight now.
Yeah, it's incredible.
They're playing the Knicks tonight. And I don't want to jinx anything, but it's going to be six straight.
That's a dub.
Yeah.
First things first, you can call in whenever you are ready to speak to me and Will. 416-263-8297. 416-263-8298. We'll be taking calls shortly, but, get in there early.
Yeah, there you go.
Also, big news for the Raptors. We have an all-star starter amongst our ranks.
Hey, listen, congratulations, Pascal Siakam. Seriously, man. Well-deserved. I know there's been injuries. There's been ups and downs. But when you look at the whole thing, Pascal's story is so, so inspiring. You saw that post-game scrum yesterday, right? Yep. When he got announced as an all-star.
2 days ago, post-game.
That was 2 days ago?
The Raptors didn't play yesterday. Pascal was in the NBA store hanging out with Blake.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. But anyway, so that scrum comes out, and he talks about how in every one of these significant moments, he thinks about his dad, his late father, whose dream was to have him have one of his sons to play in the NBA. And Pascal, not only did he make the NBA, but now he's an all-star. Like, it's just an incredible
ascension. Champion?
A champion as well, a G League champion.
Yep, fact.
Don't forget, he brought Mississauga that title. Celebration Square was never the same.
Never the same. The Hershey Center.
Also never the same. It's now a Paramount.
Is it the Paramount Fine Foods Center?
Yeah, it is.
Shout out to Paramount Fine Foods.
Yeah, seriously.
Greatest establishment. There was one right on the corner from here.
Actually, big shout out to Osmo's for sponsoring Norm and Fred way early on. That's a very incredible
shawarma
roster.
A food bringing Raptors fans together.
Yeah.
For years. Pascal's averaging 24-8-4.
Yeah. If you round up, yeah.
You always round up. Mm-hmm. We're covered. It's not like somebody's, Jaylen Brown sand and trying to justify him being the All-Star game. We round up.
I don't know that reference. Is that NFL?
No.
Oh, Jaylen Brown. Sorry. I think it's just his story is just super inspirational, right? It's like kind of perfectly the immigrant dream.
Yeah, I mean, but what's wonderful about the Raptors, and they've now had the longest current streak of All-Stars, All-Star starters, and all three of these people, Pascal, DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, have unconventional NBA trajectories, and their stories are inspiring. I know that DeMar was a high pick, but not that high.
And when he came in, he had very limited skills.
Yeah, and he improved as a player and became an All-Star, and one who very justifiably deserved to start in the Eastern Conference for a number of years.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry, was...
Came out of nowhere, really.
Exactly.
I mean, he already had a whole NBA career.
Yeah.
Was a guy who started at times, but kind of between the starting and benches, and he couldn't really get past like Goran Dragic, in Houston, and then he gets traded to Toronto. It's supposed to be a 1 year thing, and he just completely turns the whole franchise around. And he's again an NBA champion and everything like that. And Pascal's the exact same way. And I think this is like the culture of the Raptors.
Yeah,
now. You come to Toronto, you can make the best of yourselves. Like Pascal Siakam is now the first player who was a major G League player who spent significant time in the G League to become an NBA All-Star or just to be
an All-Star starter.
Yeah, and it's like this is just another example of if you come to Toronto, there's a development system in place.
Yep.
There's an opportunity here. There's a culture here. It's about hard work. It's about making the most of yourself. And Pascal is like the number one poster boy for that. So absolutely. Congratulations, Pascal, man.
Yeah, you really deserved it. And thank you to Masai for keeping a steady train of All-Star starters. Here in Toronto, because it makes the team fun to cheer for, very exciting, and keeps us picking up checks in the sports media.
Yeah,
Masai, don't leave.
Masai, never leave, man, please. I Last time there was that report of Masai leaving in 2017, I put $200 towards Giants of Africa.
I do remember you doing that, and yeah. I don't in a couple.
I don't regret it whatsoever.
No, salute to Giants of Africa.
Salute to Giants of Africa, man.
We have two Giants of Africa. Like, Joel Embiid, that's amazing. Like, it's,
yeah, two guys
I can't
from
really
Canada.
Think of two guys from a country outside of the United States or Europe, maybe, that have both started in the All-Star game. It's unbelievable. And
yeah,
it's
it really is.
Such
yeah.
a testament to the work that's happening through programs like Giant of Africa, and mm-hmm. the amazing talent that exists
yeah.
in places that we don't look at. It's real inspiring stuff.
Yeah. You know, like there's that picture that Pascal shared where he met Serge Ibaka at a camp like 8 years ago. And yeah. he's just like this gangly kid. And Serge Ibaka is this big deal. He's like an NBA player, like a fringe, you know, all-star quality kind of guy. Played yeah. for a team that went in the playoffs and stuff like that. And now they're teammates.
Yeah. It's, and champions together. It's like it's
amazing.
Amazing, amazing stuff.
Now they're eating lamb brain together.
Oh, God. And thinking back this week and seeing the Joel Embiid announcement for an All-Star starter and the Raptors beating up on the 76ers,
mm-hmm.
we thought a little bit about that big lineup that the Raptors have rolled out. And I think in preparation to later come on to like they're going to meet the 76ers in the playoffs. Right now, yeah. the standing
we'll
dictated.
See if the Sixers get past the first round.
I don't think you can slander them that much. Who would their first round matchup be against?
Boston.
Boston 76ers first round.
Woo! I'd love it.
That'd be real. That would be
tough. I don't even know who to cheer for. I just hope seven games and all the games go into triple overtime. And everyone's exhausted for the Raptors second round.
Yeah, that would be pretty ideal. I can't believe the 76ers have fallen to that position. It's like
yeah.
You're not surprised?
I mean, the more you look at it, you're like, this team doesn't really matter. Like, this team just doesn't really fit on paper, right? Like, it's beyond clear.
Yeah.
Like, end of the game, they get into Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
Like, Ben Simmons, his go-to move when you need a basket in crunch time
yep.
is coming off the screen, jumping, and passing. That's his go-to move is jump passing.
Well,
and we're not talking about Magic Johnson
no,
over here.
No, it's true. And looking ahead, we know we talked about the two big lineup, and we yeah. actually invited Anthony Doyle, contributor to Raptors Republic.
Yeah.
Salute to Will's performance in the Raptors Republic ball tournament.
Again.
But he's joining the show on line two. Anthony Doyle, welcome to Raptors Everything Live.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, man. Thanks for calling on.
So we spoke a little bit about you wanting to explore this two big lineup and how it's been effective for the Raptors in last year and you know preparing for what it looks like coming up. I know Will's pulled up BK Refs because he's the real talent here. But what are your thoughts on this two big starting lineup that Nick Nurse has tried out a little bit so far this season?
I was skeptical at first of the idea of like going that big. Ibaka's not as quick as people sometimes think he is anymore. Marc Gasol's obviously not the fastest guy. I thought they'd have some mobility issues at first. It was a lot of fun watching them play out there. And then you look at the numbers they put up in the games they played. They were really good. And yeah. it created a lot of problems for teams like, you know, OG and Pascal really caused problems for teams' wings
yeah.
when you got them out there being yeah, able to absolutely. Match up with them. And I just think it's this fun lineup. It forces other teams to adjust. And that's something that, like, it's good to be the team that's forcing the other team to adjust
yeah,
in any
absolutely.
Game.
Yeah. And that's very refreshing, too.
Yeah.
That did not happen a lot during the Dwayne Casey era. It was always the other way around. But, yeah, I mean, to your point, especially that two-center tandem. First off, it's, like, super rare in the NBA nowadays.
Yeah.
But if you look at it, the two of them, according to Basketball Reference, have played 71 minutes together, Gasol and Ibaka. They are, in terms of just, like, per 100 points, plus 27.7 per 100 possessions. Now, whatever. It's a two-man lineup. It's hard to sort of suss out that and carry it out towards the whole thing. But I think really when you just look at it stylistically, it doesn't you're not really sacrificing that much from a basketball perspective in terms of like you're not running like all your offense through the post.
And you're not
making players be in places they're uncomfortable. Like Mark's going to be at the top of the floor
yep.
or he's going to be in the corner. Serge can be on the baseline, you know, operating as just like as a center would.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else like Pascal can play a three
mm-hmm.
position offensively, no problem. And OG, you know, as a two – it's fine. He's just spacing the floor. He's
yep.
not really getting anyone's
yeah,
way. And you still have playmaking with Kyle. You have playmaking with Pascal. You have playmaking with Mark.
Yeah.
And then defensively, they can all hold their own. They're all, like again, like this is also probably the five smartest defenders the Raptors have together. If you really put it together.
Yes.
Maybe Fred. is kind of excluded. But
yeah, he's excluded, but...
The trade-off is you get an extra feet of defender.
An extra foot of defender.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's a strange way to think about it.
Yeah, and you have three shot blockers on the floor?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's an amazing... it's amazing that it's worked this well. I'm seeing it come out in stretches against in that 76ers series. Mm-hmm. You thought, okay, it makes sense in this instance where they have to go up against two bigs. And looking forward, Al Horford and Joel Embiid exist somewhere in the Eastern Conference playoffs. But I think this lineup has utility against the Pacers. Yeah. I think it could be used to really punish the Celtics.
Even against the Bucks, low-key, I think they can use it a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
No, it's really exciting. I can't wait for this team to make the playoffs because it's really just jockeying for position and 82 practices at this point. I think the Raptors have their 7-man rotation done.
Yeah.
Doyle, what's life like in Yellowknife?
It's not too bad right now. It's only like minus 15 outside. It's warmed up from we had a week there where it was like minus 40, minus 50, and it was awful. But now it's back to like normal winter weather, which is a lot nicer to have. But yeah, I mean,
are you looking forward to that? What is the Ice King's Palace, or what's that festival that happens at the end of the winter in Yellowknife?
Yeah, down on Great Slave Lake, they build an ice palace down there, and it's open for a couple weeks. They go down, they do comedy shows and things like that down there. It's really, really cool. I don't think it's quite open yet because it takes a while to get enough ice built up on Great Slave Lake.
But I've seen pictures. It's crazy. Do you visit after it starts to melt in the spring, or is it like totally cordoned off? I've seen pictures, and it looks amazing when it starts to melt. Because it's really cool.
Yeah, the ice on Great Slave Lake doesn't completely melt until, like, even in the end of May, you can drive down to the lake and there's a lot of ice out there. So usually you can drive out onto the lake into early March.
Amazing.
Wow.
I'm trying to pull up a picture for Will. He can't really imagine it.
Whoa. That's incredible.
This is inside an ice castle.
Okay, it's like a rave. Okay, nice.
Yeah, it is like a rave.
That's kind of sick.
Yeah,
this is like some stuff you would feel in Russia.
It's Yellowknife. It's cold enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
Anywho, Doyle, thanks for calling into the show. Where can people find your writing and your great tweets?
My writing's always at Raptors Republic. Yeah. I'm doing the quick reaction for tonight's game.
Awesome.
And I've got some stuff coming next week.
Just put A for everybody.
My Twitter is...
Just pre-write this one. It's a win.
It's a dub. It's an A for Stanley Johnson. That's that kind of night.
Oh, man. Stanley might get 20 minutes.
Sorry, your Twitter.
My Twitter is at AnthonySMDoyle, and thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Right,
thanks for calling in, man.
All right. Be good.
Yeah.
Excellent stuff.
Excellent stuff.
Anthony Doyle, first, before we do get to the phones, and we will get to everybody's calls, we have the KFC hotline.
Yes.
That KFC hotline bling. So as many of you know, and if you don't, you're about to, if you leave a message at Yahoo Sports Canada's Instagram after any game, or really anytime,
man.
Leave a comment, and if it's good, we'll play it on the show. So here's what we have from this week. First, we'll start with Ali, who's going to talk about our favorite Toronto Raptor.
Yo, Norman Powell is actually a stone cold killer. This man is averaging like 20 points a game off the bench, starting lineup, doesn't matter, injured, comes back, just playing like a pro. He's well-liked in the locker room. He doesn't complain. He literally just comes out, bangs triples, and doesn't complain. And everybody's talking about trying to trade this guy. Everybody's always worried. Yeah, you know, we wish we could always have good Norm on a day-to-day basis. Bro, this guy's been good Norm for like 2 months.
Yeah.
I just want all the slander about this man to cut out and the trade talks to just go away because this man is playing like a G.
Ali's absolutely correct.
That's a fact right
That's
there.
A fact. Norm Powell is being put into these trade rumors because he's a tradable asset. He's very young player, team control for a few more years, and he's...
Also, people don't fully buy the whole thing, but, I mean, listen, he's carrying the team right now, man.
Yeah.
What do you want him to do?
He's been amazing.
He's carrying the team off
the Monday bench. Afternoon,
yeah.
Norm Powell was out of control. So much fun to watch.
Yeah.
No, it was really incredible. The next call on the... KFC hotline.
Wait, hold on. Let's take another call, then we can...
Okay, so we will... All right. Will, I like your contributions. Okay. But first, we have Nabil on line one. Nabil from Whitby, how's it going?
Wagwan popcorn.
I'm glad we took this call.
Shout out to you, Nabil, for holding for 10 minutes. Yeah, and then coming right
you
up
got in early. How's it going?
Yo, I have to throw down the Chet Hanks one time on the after call.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Chet Hanks.
Big up to the man. Show this man. Yeah. Give this man a one-way ticket to Alwyn's Bakery in North York, man.
Alwyn's Bakery. Wow. I'm a sunrise on Eglinton, but respect.
All right.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. You know, just enjoying this new rap streak we got going. Everyone's finally healthy. You know, mm-hmm. Raps. You know, it's finally exciting to watch basketball again. It was fun watching the guys step up and whatnot, but just having No. I mean, like, you know, the whole squad. You know, there was a different kind of energy around us being fully healthy, and it was nice seeing the other guys step up. But,
absolutely.
You know, it's just nice to see us healthy again. My question, I guess, is twofold. One, you know, our schedule's kind of light for the rest of the way. Even February, I was looking at it, you know, Indiana, I was good. We faced them a few times, but I think for the rest of the way, you know, for the rest of January and February, it's pretty light. So despite the fact that we're not going to really be battle-tested against any, like, heavy, heavy playoff opponents outside from a few games, is there anything qualitatively you guys are looking at in terms of, you know, not necessarily the quality of opponent would be, but more so anything you're trying to see to gauge how the team, you know, meshing together now that we're finally healthy? Like, for example, you know, seeing Mark healthy again, seeing him actually being aggressive, scoring and everything, and, you know, Norm kind of maintain this. Are there any things you guys are looking to watch? I know the obvious thing is probably Pascal getting back to full form.
Yeah, but, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, what about you guys? Is there anything you guys will be looking for specifically over the next few months?
Yeah, I just want to see Pascal be at his best, because I think right now everyone else is playing pretty damn well. Like, Kyle's giving you A-level performances every game. Fred has come back. I don't think he's missed a three since coming
it's
back.
Been crazy.
It's been nuts.
It feels like that.
It's like he had another kid in his couple weeks off.
I was just going to say, what do you do with that off time? but, you know, like, Serge is, he played well. He's had good moments.
Yeah.
I thought he was pretty good against the Sixers. Mark obviously is doing well. So I just want to see Pascal also reach his level that we know he can get to.
Yeah.
And just see sort of, you know, again, like, in crunch time, can Pascal deliver you those baskets when the defense gets really tough?
Mm-hmm.
Because, ultimately, you know, these are still 82 practices. And especially a game like the Knicks, like, I want to see Pascal, like, practice some stuff. Like, get that jumper back.
Yeah. The thing that I'm looking forward to is actually Nick Nurse managing the full roster well. Despite the schedule being pretty light, it's not perfect in terms of travel and back-to-backs.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hate to see the team fall into playing, you know, Mark and Kyle 33-plus minutes for the rest of the way out, especially if there are a few tougher travel days and tougher back-to-backs.
Mm-hmm.
So to get guys like Chris Boucher and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson going and contributing productively to the team's ability to perform tonight is really important to me, because I think it's how you set this team up for success. Yeah, the opponents aren't scaring you night to night, but it is still an 82 game grind. Like, it's the Raptors can't just say, all right, we have everybody back, fast forward, and it's April 10th and the playoffs are starting, and they have to figure it out.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm
I'm glad you touched on that. I think it'd be nice to get, you know, Rondae, Boucher, TD, especially that trio, more reps together, you know, against these lesser opponents that we're facing, just to keep them fresh, you know, like, they've lost quite a few minutes and shown that, you know, they can be entrusted with, you know, legit minutes in a game. But I think also keeping them fresh, you know, I feel like Chris Boucher especially has been riding the bench a little too much, and his minutes have been seriously down since we've gotten everyone back. So I'd definitely like to see that happen.
Yeah.
The second question, we don't have to spend too much time on it. I don't know if anyone's asked about this, but, like, it's been hammered to death in the, you know, online by the media the last few days. The whole Clippers article that The Athletic dropped, I've seen, you know, arguments for both sides. I think some of the media members are kind of downplaying it a bit. I'm not so sure they should be downplaying it. I think people bring up one of the anecdotes in that article with the Atlanta game where, you know, JV, his first game back, he ended up getting traded. Yep.
That was awkward.
It was awkward. My thing is that, like, see, like, the makeup of our team in that instance, like, you know, Mark, Kyle, like, those guys had been to the playoffs and had deep runs and have suffered heartbreak, you know, like, just not being good enough, running into whatever super teams. And they kind of, like, everyone, I feel like the makeup of that team, especially those two guys, kind of were just like, we don't, you know, give a fuck. Like, we are willing to sacrifice for the greater good of the team and championship. I don't buy that anyone outside of Kawhi and even Paul George to that extent on that team is battle-tested like that. Agreed. And has experienced that much, you know, hardship throughout the playoffs and that many battles.
Oh, man. Well, Pat Patterson's on that team.
Pat Patterson. Oh. Pat Patterson for three. We need this. Oh.
Can't wait for whoever the Clipper announcer is because Rolf Lawler is retired.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that I watched the behind the scenes for the Sports Illustrated shoot that Trez, Lou Williams, and Pat Bev did. Mm-hmm. And those guys they're not serious.
Yeah.
They just seemed like they were having too good a time. And I don't know. It didn't inspire me. Like, there were things about the Raptors team, like, up and down the roster, starting with Kyle and Kawhi. They were just locked in. They were on a string. They were taking it seriously. And I don't know. I think that I don't even think Paul George is that serious. Like, I don't. I think
no. Paul George is not a serious man. But you know what? Honestly, chemistry matters. But it's also like, I mean, come on, man. You're gonna have Kawhi in the playoffs. Like, we know how good that guy is.
That's fact.
And you stacked it up against almost any single other team in the Western Conference and in the East as well. They probably have the best player on the floor.
Yeah.
And it's not as simple as that. But that is the most crucial ingredient. And
I think
Go on.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think also, you know, even though we had younger guys like Norm and Fred, yep. Like I think guys like that, even despite how young they are, both like in age and in their NBA careers, mm-hmm. they've had quite a few playoff reps and like playoff experience over the years. So even though Norm was drafted in 2015, if I remember correctly, and I think Fred came on in 2016? Think about Harrell. So Harrell was drafted in 2015, and I don't really know how many playoff games that guy's been in. I don't know how many deep playoff runs he's been on, but I don't believe it's a lot or like even any at all. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I guess in that sense, you know, I don't know if the comparison is exactly apples to apples when people just kind of write off this article and say, oh yeah, you know, like the Raptors also, you know, had a point with Kawhi where it's like, what the hell, like, you know, when are you going to start consistently playing games? I think the mental makeup and the leadership at the top is completely different than what they have.
Yeah, well, I think so, too. The Raptors have I think the culture is a little different. I think the Clippers think they have the same culture, but I don't think it's the exact same way. They don't have a central guy like Kyle Lowry who's, like,
carrying the culture.
Yeah, like, Lou Williams and, you know, and he runs a nice pick and roll with Montrezl Harrell. Like, yeah. It's true, but, like, that's not culture. That's not an organizational culture.
No. Like, this was built and tried and tested over years with us, where I was like, with them, like, they had one season last year where they overperformed expectation. I think they have like the point differential of like one or something, and yet they won like a 40-win team, yet they won 48. So they like severely outperformed expectations. So I think that needs to be factored in too. But
No, thanks for calling, man. It's a good topic, and it's one that lots of people have been thinking about. So have a great weekend, Nabil.
You too.
Yeah, be good. All right, guys. Yeah, that's a good question. I hope that the Clippers figure it out because the Lakers look for real.
Yeah, the Lakers are for real. It feels like every game the Lakers are beating a trash team, though.
But there aren't...
Like, every game, man. That's true. They're like, oh, man, they just beat up the Brooklyn Nets.
But then you look at it. They did, like... They played a great game against the Mavs.
Yeah, they did. They played the Mavs well, because the Mavs have, like...
They have the junior Lakers.
Yeah, they have... The Mavs are... I don't know, man. Luka's been really good, but... I don't know. I don't really take the Mavs that seriously, to be honest. Porzingis is just really not himself.
No, he's not.
He's not been that great.
All right, Lou, I'll defer to you. Do you want to hit up the live calls or hit up the hotline?
Let's take one more hotline. Let's take one more call and then do one more hotline.
All right, great. We have Avery from Calgary on line two. Avery, welcome to the show.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, man.
Good.
How are you?
Good. I'm doing good.
Excellent.
Nice. Can't really complain. Raptors are winning.
Yeah,
that's nice true. To watch.
Yeah.
Helps me sleep. But anyways, my question was... people keep talking about moving some of our expiring vets at the trade deadline, and it's kind of, I feel like we wouldn't really get anything back, but I was thinking more along the lines of maybe trading two or three of these bench guys in order to acquire maybe a off-the-bench creator, because we're having Fred come up in the starting lineup, so we don't really have much to create on the bench.
Okay.
So, but do we want to sacrifice the depth for that? Because as we saw, the injuries kind of hurt us.
Which depth pieces are you talking about?
I'm thinking Rondé, because Rondé doesn't even really get any minutes when all of our starters are there. I'm thinking, obviously, like Stanley Johnson, and I would hate to see him go, but like Chris Boucher. Okay. I really like watching him play, but...
I think Chris Boucher is off the table. We need a backup big for the future. Like, you can't have zero bigs after this year, after Mark.
Come on, man. What about DeJuan?
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't he center?
Sure.
Nah, I mean, he's like an Amir Johnson kind of body. Like, he's... A little smaller.
So
more powerful.
Chris Boucher, I think, is like, not that he, it's funny to think, like, an untouchable asset, but
he's not untouchable.
You, like, I don't really want to give him away for a piece that's just around for this year.
Right.
But Stanley Johnson and Ronda Hollis Jefferson, can you put those two together for something?
I mean, what do you, I mean, you're not getting a lot back for that, though.
Yeah.
No, but maybe really something that would fit into our system a little bit better.
Ronda kind of does fit into the system. Like, the Raptors have always had, like, you're the energy big. Go, like, be Amir Johnson.
Yeah.
Right?
That's Chris Boucher, kind of.
Yeah, but Boucher's not even playing much. I'm a little surprised, actually. I think Boucher might be more productive at four than Ronda is.
Yeah, me too.
Personally.
He's a great perimeter defender for his position.
Yeah, and Ronde's, I would still say Ronde's a better man-to-man defender, for sure, than Boucher. But, you know, it's kind of curious.
Boucher seems Boucher to know the team concept really well.
Yeah, and he also, like, can hit a three-pointer.
That's very true.
Every time Ronde shoots the ball, it looks like his elbows, his shoulder shooting his arm at the rim. It looks a little painful. But, I mean, yeah, in terms of, like, I mean, I just don't think you're going to get that big of a return for it. Yeah. But I don't mind. Like, I think that's probably what they'll try to do is – I don't think they'll touch the top seven that much. You have to get a really good piece to get back if you're going to move any of the top seven. And then beyond that, it's like you could probably move any combination of those guys to try to upgrade.
Yeah.
And if you can get someone that can turn the top seven into the top eight, that'd be great.
You just need to, like, I don't know the market. I don't really see the market.
Ronde and Stanley are not really assets.
They're not an out, yeah.
Yeah. They make so little money, and also, if people wanted them, they would have signed them.
Yeah.
That's true.
They're signed for such little amount of money, so you're probably throwing in a pick. And at that point, it's like, eh. Like, are you like?
I don't want to give up any draft assets forever again, or not right now. I want the.
Yeah, I mean, you know, last time the Raptors gave up a first, it turned into Kawhi. So,
all right,
but even the Kawhi trade only won first.
Yeah, it's true.
It's pretty amazing.
Anywho, thanks Avery for the call.
Yeah, man.
Hey, no problem.
Have a great weekend.
Enjoy Calgary.
Enjoy Calgary. Too, go to Tom's House of Pizza.
Pardon me.
Go to Tom's House of Pizza.
I've never heard of that.
It's a pizza place in Calgary. It's
all right. You've been in Calgary.
I'll look it up.
All right, peace.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Josh is in Calgary.
I'm man's been into Banff National Park, Bridget.
Okay, wow. All
right, next, we have Abby on the KFC hotline. Abby, welcome to the show.
I've been really impressed with both Mark and Norm just because they've been playing so well since coming back from injury, playing as if they haven't missed 11 or 12 games. And in my opinion, playing better than how they were prior to their injuries. I've also been very impressed with OG. Defensively, he's been very active. And overall, I'm just really excited to see what this team can do.
Yep. Great analysis.
Great analysis. First off, I thought that was Iman.
It did really sound like Iman. Iman, you don't have to use your burner. Norm's playing as well as he was before he left. Mm-hmm. But Mark looks like night and day. I've seen it tweeted that, like, Marc Gasol's improvement proves that sometimes all you need in life is a nap, and it's amazing. Okay. He just looks like he was able to sit down for the first time in a year.
Yeah.
And it benefited him tremendously.
Yeah. No, he's light on his feet. That turnaround jumper is like, legitimately gorgeous to watch. Before, I hated it because he missed every single time.
Yeah.
But now that he's making them, it looks, aesthetically speaking, it looks beautiful.
Well, the other day he was doing, like, he ran along the baseline for a reverse jam, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like,
Mark?
Yeah, Mark? Is that you?
Yeah.
Is this you? No, it was really, really
entertaining.
I have never, ever.
I love that clip so much, man.
Excellent.
John Wall is so good when he's not playing basketball.
I like John Wall's game. I like that he's like a bit of a like an asshole on the court.
Mm.
He's really great. He like yells at the refs.
Him counting other players' money though is weird, man.
Yeah, it's
come on.
You don't need to do that.
Yeah,
it is pretty.
Especially
bad.
Since no one should be counting John Wall's money other than John Wall, right? John Wall's accountant must be thrilled.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. All right, we have John from Toronto on line one. John, welcome to the show.
Yo, hey guys,
how's it going?
Hey, yeah, I'd like to see talk about like yesterday they announced the All-Star starters for the East and West. And I guess kind of the one glaring thing is about Trae Young. I feel like he shouldn't be there based on his individual performance is great, but his team performance is kind of shitty.
He shouldn't be on the All-Star team, or he shouldn't be a starter? Shouldn't start. Okay.
Do you have a
take? It's just like, what do you think next week for the reserves? Should the Raptors deserve two starters, or should the Bucks deserve two? Or the Heat deserve to. There's a lot of people are saying Butler and Bam out Adebayo or etcetera, something like that.
I think, Bam should be there.
Bam should be there.
I think, honestly, I mean, as much as I like to slander Chris Middleton, regular season-wise, Chris Middleton should be there.
I don't think so. Bam should be there. I think it's Bam. I think Bam is the...
I mean, they could both be on. They got seven more spots.
No, he's talking about starters.
Oh, starters.
Who should have replaced Trey Young as a starter?
Oh.
Reserves, we can, we can work through.
I mean, I don't hate the Trey as a starter, guys.
He's a star. I really like watching Trey Young
play.
Here's
the thing. He definitely won the fan vote, which is, I think, like 50% of the vote. And then the other 25% comes from coaches. So even if all the coaches were like, this guy's a losing player, we're not voting for him. I think the players probably were like, yo, Trey's sick. So, like, the players voted for him and the fans voted for him. So you're probably going to be a starter at that point.
Yeah, it's weird that it's very amazing that Kyrie Irving wasn't able to start in this. Like, his talent, his place in the league, it should have meant a start. And it's like, that's the interesting thing. Like, what? Like, why is Kyrie Irving so hateable? And I know he missed some time. That he's not starting in this All-Star game. Because Trae Young shouldn't, like, it should be a guy like Kyrie. Like, Kyle Lowry,
I'd be more upset if Kyrie was in the starting lineup.
Kyle?
No, over Trey.
Really?
Yeah.
But Kyrie's
played like four games.
I know. He's missed a lot of time, but he's like very successful, like sneaker salesman, very flashy player, champion.
Mm-hmm.
Like Uncle Drew, like that stuff matters.
And Uncle Drew.
It's like,
that's a negative.
It's an indictment on his personality being so toxic at the moment that he wasn't an All-Star.
No, that's fair.
He should be a starter. He's
amazing to watch.
He's one of the four biggest stars in the conference. And the fact that he isn't a starter is like, dog, like you gotta rehab your image.
Man. Shape up. Just stop going Instagram for like 10 minutes, man. Take a tolerance break.
Yeah. You stop trying to quote the Art of War in your post game scrums. That's where he needs to change it. Yeah, but Trae Young, congratulations. He's young. And also, I'm glad that he made it because the like Luka Doncic, Trae Young gap would have just continued to grow.
Yeah.
And I feel bad. Like, it's.
Trey's
a great
good,
player.
Though, man. Trey's really good. We saw what Trey did to the Raptors.
Yeah,
man.
He's good.
42 and 15 assists. And that's against a really good defensive club.
They need a good coach. They need better talent. And I think he can be a winning player. I would love to see him continue his success and, like, really, you know, it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Anywho.
I'm not that mad at it, ultimately.
John, thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Have an excellent weekend.
And to Will, go ahead, Satchel.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah,
I also hope I get. Yeah, Happy New Year to you too, man.
All right.
Yeah, thanks.
All right,
have a good
one. Appreciate it.
Do you have Lunar New Year plans?
Yeah, I mean, just going to see my parents, make some food.
See George?
Probably Mahjong.
Yeah. Mahjong? Are you a good Mahjong?
No. Right. I'm average, I would say. I really only play my family, and extended family. So it's hard to say, but I don't know, man. It's hard to be like amazing at Mahjong. That's my personal opinion.
Like, is it one of those games that you have to be like 77 years old to be good at, or
there's just a lot. A lot of luck in it.
Oh, I don't know how to play Mahjong.
Yeah,
it seems like I played like it's like dominoes, but it isn't at all.
Nah, it's not like dominoes.
But you know, like you look at it and you're like, this is dominoes, and then it's like, now you got to like learn so much about this game. I'm like, ah.
Yeah, no, it's annoying. No, I mean the worst part is that Mahjong got bastardized as American Mahjong. That one is bad, man. When you just got to match two tiles, that's not how that game goes. That's just not how that game goes.
I had no idea. Do you want to hit up the hotline?
Let's do it.
All right. We have Reed. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Will. How's it going? Big fan here. I really just wanted to ask if you had any cool kind of stories about interactions with players or team staff, something that could kind of give people a little more insight to what it's like to cover the team as close as you do. Keep putting out this killer content.
All right,
cheers.
All right, wow. Thank you. One story I like to tell a lot, it doesn't have to do with the Raptors, but the first time I ever did any sort of serious basketball reporting outside of like covering the McMaster women's basketball team.
Salute.
Shout out Coach Burns, man. Great team. Anyway, so I was invited by a buddy of mine who was interning at Canada Basketball to come to one of their practices in the summertime. It was like a tryout for, I forget, like the Pan Am Games or something like that. And so I was real nervous. I like super overdressed. I wore this
We used to wear blazers all the time.
It was disgusting. Everyone was there just in a t-shirt being like, what are you doing, man? But anyway, whatever. So I came. I didn't really ask any questions. Just sort of like observing, seeing what it's like.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? I should probably do something while I'm here. So I was in the elevator at Scotiabank before they used to like have the practice. I mean, I guess they still had the practice still in the third floor, but they were doing their stuff there.
Yeah.
So they're going from the third floor down to the main level. And it was just me and Andrew Nicholson. Shout out Andrew Nicholson.
Shout out.
Mississauga.
Legend.
Legend, I guess. And I was in there and I was like, you know what, man? I'm going to go for it. So I was like, hey, Andrew, like, I'm, you know, I'm, I'm nervous. This is my first time as a reporter. I'd like to ask you a couple questions. He's like, he's such a nice guy. He's like, yeah, of course, man. I got you. And I was like, all right, great. So then the first question I asked him was, so the Orlando Magic just signed Channing Frye for a 4-year deal to be a stretch five. Are you worried your minutes are going to come down? Oh, and then he was like, this interview is over. So I really got shut down by Andrew Nicholson.
As that you should have. That's a crazy, wild, disrespectful question.
Very disrespectful. I could have asked him, like, hey, what does it mean to put Canada on your jersey or something like that? But no, I mean, I don't know, man. Otherwise, it's kind of normal. I think over time, it's sort of just it's weird because, like, I'm definitely a fan of the team and, like, yeah. I definitely admire these guys and things like that. But when you see them around all the time, like, it's kind of whatever. You know? Like, very few times you're, like, starstruck at all anymore, which is weird. Honestly, the only time during the NBA Finals last year was when it was starstruck. Like, I mean, like, Drake would walk through in the halls and I'm like, nah, whatever. It's Drake, whatever. Oh, Gucci Mane's there. It's like, eh, whatever. But when Stephen A. Smith was there, I was like, yo, when I was sitting down and eating a burger besides Stephen A. Smith's just watching Mission Impossible on his iPad.
As he should.
Legend, man.
My favorite. A real legend. My
favorite the forehead is that big in real life.
You, my favorite sort of you covering the team, and it's only because I watched it live and knew immediately next time we talk, you'd be like, can't believe that happened, was at Media Day 2018-19 season last year.
Yeah.
You know, with Danny, Masai, Kawhi, they're all sitting up there.
I'm
a fun guy. Will gets his first opportunity to ask a question at this significant event that happens every year. And I think it's sort of like, not was a coronation for you, but it's another level up in, like,
sure,
covering the team.
Yeah.
So Will, you know,
it's when you turn from an internet person to a real life person.
So Will gets a question. I think it's posed to Nick Nurse, and he wants to ask the team. So Nick Nurse, like, you last year shot way more threes than ever before. Is that trend going to continue? Will you end up in the mid-40s? That's a decent question. It's a little weird to ask on Media Day, but Will's voice cracks. Like, it's great, like, pubescent. Like,
Hey, Nick!
Are the Raptors going to shoot 14? It's like,
hello, very, welcome.
It was very, very excellent stuff. And, like, immediately I texted Will, like, yo, what happened? He's like, I can't believe it.
I know. Nick's like, I just got to, like, make sure Kawhi plays for the team first, and we'll figure it out from there. Yeah, whether Kawhi we shoot 43s, dog. Why are you asking this right now in September?
Anywho, it's fun to see Will cover the team, and we have calls to get to.
Yeah, yeah.
One or two?
Let's go to two. He was first.
We have Cassidy from Scarborough Online 2. Cassidy, how's it going?
Wagwan!
Yo!
Love you guys' show.
Thank you.
Get a trend going here. Alright, so first off, love your guys' Stanley suggestion. I'm new to the city, so I've been using this as, like,
a
spot to go check out all my Tinder dates, so by all means.
Okay, a lot of Rexdale in the West End. Yeah, we'll eventually send you to Evergreen Brickworks, but...
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
In the summertime, though. Right now, it's a little cold.
Alright, I got a Raptors question, and I got a general question.
Okay.
All right.
Raptors question. Are you guys shocked at all that, like, Lowry and Van Fleet didn't get any love for the... All-Star voting, like, from the media players?
Not as much. I feel like players respect, like, skill and talent level and
hard work. Hustle stats.
Really? I mean, yeah, I know. I'm not saying those guys are unskilled. I'm just saying for, like, an All-Star level,
yeah,
those guys don't immediately pop to mind as much as someone like Kemba Walker.
Because I think the thing with lots of players is when they see somebody do something they can't, mm-hmm. they're like, whoa, like, what's going on? Like, there's that great Jason, is it Jason Terry, who sees Giannis, he's like, how old are you? He's, I'm 19, and he's like, oh, god damn it.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that, I think, is what...
That's like when Alex sees me at the office.
I think that's what stands out to other NBA players. Guys don't like to think, yeah, just Fred VanVleet outworks me.
It's not as sexy. It really is not as sexy.
Yeah.
It isn't. But it's not surprising, too, because, you know, Lowry and Van Vliet routinely give these guys the work.
So exactly.
I would be pissed, too, if two guys 6 foot tall were just
cooking me.
Cooking me, Tobias Harris.
Two short kings with the Larry O.B. It's gotta hurt.
That sucks, man.
What was your other question?
Well, shit, what was it?
That's okay.
It's a general one.
I kind of forget, boys.
All-star voting?
Sorry, what's scoring there?
Assets?
Actually, you know what? Random question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm new to the city and everything.
Yeah.
Welcome to Toronto.
Do people out here actually hoop in the summertime and shit?
Yeah. There's good runs. A lot of them are private, but Christy Pitt has a good run that happens. Every day of the week. It's a pretty good run. You have to come downtown, and then there are courts.
I actually remembered my question.
Oh yeah. What's up?
Okay.
Lou.
Yeah.
William, rather. Sorry.
No, sorry.
Your last video you posted, you seemed a little distracted there. Was your girlfriend doing a little dance for you there?
Oh my god.
What?
What? What video? What, like the reaction?
Everyone will know back. Yo, you
the reaction show?
The Raptors over everything. And I swear to god, Lou could not keep his eyes away.
Was it, it was probably the cats. Will has two very lovely cats that he lives with.
Wow. I thought the one that I did at the arena.
Oh.
People complaining. I saw some people complaining on the lighting on the arena. I was like, I can't. That's not Yahoo's fault. There's no quiet space to do it at the arena. So it looks like I'm a hostage.
It was probably Alex doing a dance for me, keeping it 100.
Nah, there's no one else out there. So it's up to him, and there's just me, and then this one other old guy who I've never talked to or met, but he's always up there like 2 hours after the game.
What if we find out it's Doug Smith and then I have to slander you on this
show?
That's
not Doug. It's not Doug. But, all right, man. Thanks for the call.
All right, guys. Cassidy,
appreciate it. Welcome to the city. All right, be good.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right. We have a friend of the show.
A classic.
On line one. Vitaly from Moscow. Welcome back to the program.
What did you do, baby?
Yes. You always deliver, Vitaly.
Oh, yo, that's amazing.
You know, it's been a month. Been busy, been crazy.
Yeah.
But I had that one ready.
Okay.
I haven't heard the show till now.
It's okay.
So sorry if something is redundant.
No, it's okay.
Man, so many Miami Heat fans talking shit about... Well, first of all, I want to say this first.
Yeah.
I think Jimmy Butler, you should vote him as guard. And
yes,
if you make
agreed.
The argument,
it's crazy to make him a starter.
That's fair, because, you know, Trae Young, I don't care if he averages 40 and 15.
Yeah.
He's on the worst team in the East, and he's one of the worst defenders in NBA history.
Yeah, fair enough.
Can't put him as authors. Maybe as reserve. But if you keep him in forward, people saying he should be over Siakam, I actually think he's not even the best player on his own team. Maybe at the bio, but
and
people not mentioning this. Jimmy Butler shooting this year 26% from three.
Yep.
And he has higher free throw rate than James Harden. You watch the game, he's crying, he's flailing. basically, if you weren't giving this free throw, he'll be giving you 15 points, and down the stretch, he's been crap. Mm. So you guys probably already talked about this, but I wanted to get that off my chest.
Oh, that's amazing.
I like the take. Jimmy Butler is a fraud. It's good. What the first crazy take we had of Giannis is a fraud. We exposed him.
Yeah,
last
that was
year.
Crazy, man.
But yeah, the Bam Adebayo is like a special talent.
They said Giannis is fraud.
Yeah, somebody called in like early in the show and said the fact that the Raptors exposed Giannis means he's a fraud. And
I'm just saying, man, he hasn't beat Norman Powell in his career, that's
well, here's what happened in the conference finals. I think this is the simplest way you can put it. He missed 25 free throws in the conference finals. I remember them.
Yeah, that's a lot.
35 for 60. That's a bunch of three-point games. Easily, he hits a couple more game over.
Yeah, and so, he went 0 for 2, or he went 1 for 3 down the stretch of game 6. It was pretty bad.
Oh, man, the Raptors crowd. Big shout out to Raptors.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable crowd.
Okay, unbelievable crowd.
We got to answer
this question. Phenomenal training staff in Toronto. They will teach him.
They'll teach Giannis how to shoot free throws.
But okay, I remembered my question.
I'm sorry.
Did you? Okay, so this is maybe like not really talked about, but Marc Gasol will be 35 in a few days from now, and people kind of look at the season like, "Hey, let's go for it. Let's try to win conference." I look at it as, "Hey, this might be the last year Marc Gasol could probably compete for a title. Who knows what will happen next offseason? He's only getting older, so." I think right now, our healthy, like, eight-man rotation, it is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I kind of want to ask you about matching up with Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been playing well this year, but as we saw last year, I think Eric Bledsoe, big fraud.
Definitely.
And I think Budenholzer, he's like, I can't play Giannis more than 37.5 minutes. We did the analytics. If he plays 38 minutes, bro, it's game six. Anyway, so what do you guys think? I think we take care of Milwaukee. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm not that afraid of Milwaukee. I get that. They're 38, 39, and 6. I forget what the record is. Like, obviously, they were having an amazing record.
Yeah.
They might get to 70 wins. It doesn't matter. Fundamentally, when I look at the talent, they have real limitations on the team.
Yeah.
It's like a baseball pitcher that can throw 100 miles per hour. But doesn't have a great off-speed pitch. And if you can catch up to that fastball, which is guarding Giannis, which is a big deal, you know? But if you can catch up to Giannis and build a wall and have a home crowd that makes him miss 80% of his free throws, then, yeah, like, they're a team that's still vulnerable to me. They're not invincible. Absolutely. I think Milwaukee's a better team in terms of just, like, you look at the talent, you look at all the execution, like, the pieces on their team, they have a better number one guy, Giannis, undoubtedly. Yep. Undoubtedly. And I think they probably beat the Raptors, you know, straight just up. If you played the series, like, 100 times. But also, I think the Raptors have really specific defensive abilities that are pretty well-equipped to guard Giannis. Yep. I think OG's a guy you can throw out at Giannis.
Yep.
I think Serge has already proven to be a guy who you can throw out Giannis. So, you're right there, you have 48 minutes. Although, you know, as Vitaly said, you really only need 37. And then the rest of the guys, like, the Raptors can shut them down. Like, they move the ball well. They run pick and roll, stuff like that. It's cute. Regular season, a lot of teams aren't prepared to go against an efficient offensive club that know what they're doing.
Yep.
The Raptors are a really good defensive club. There's nothing that the Bucks do outside of what Giannis does
that the Raptors can't
solve. So as long as you can get to that Giannis defense, which is difficult, Raptors have a good chance. Yep. And I think we can score on them, too.
I think we can score on the Bucks.
I think we learned this in the earlier DeRozan years, the 59-win season, 56-win season.
Yeah.
They're back-to-back. They're three games in four nights. Mm-hmm. You have a great 10, 12-man rotation.
Yeah.
You will win a lot of games.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it in the playoffs, are we worried about Connaughton and Sterling Brown and DiVincenzo? No, I don't think so. I think Bucks fans should be terrified if Eric Bledsoe, you know, he becomes playoff Bledsoe like usual. So.
Yeah.
No,
but you know what? If we are fully healthy, obviously they will have home court. You have to favor it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think biggest underrated factor, I think we have the coaching advantage.
I agree.
We do, definitely.
I don't think there's a coach in the league who I think I trust like more tactically right now, who's willing to just keep throwing things at the wall until something sticks. The Raptors are going to get beat. Like, they're going to get masked some nights. Like, in a series against the Bucks, they're just going to, you know, outshoot, like, they're just going to shoot 56%, and that's going to be the game from three, and that's, you can't deal with that, but Nick Nurse has just constantly impressed me. Just, he's willing to do what it takes, and I don't think Budenholzer proved it. He's too committed to his stupid minutes restrictions to win a very winnable.
Giannis is 24 years old, and you can't play him 40 minutes? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no,
it's elimination
crazy.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you, bud.
Thank you, bud.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Vitaly.
Thanks, Vitaly. Welcome back to the show. And,
Cheers. Okay.
All right. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
This guy, man. Every time Vitaly comes on, it's an A+ call.
Like, yeah,
he's really a can't miss.
I want that clipped and then sent right to every Milwaukee fan.
He's Fred VanVleet with an open three. He's making that. Actually, send that to Milwaukee fans too. Send all seven of those to Milwaukee. Yo, honestly, imagine you have this amazing team and all time team.
Yeah,
you're about to go to the finals, and then Fred VanVleet happens. He has a baby, and it's all over.
It's
for
true.
You.
Like, they would have been a historically significant team. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's amazing. Also, shout out Fred, by the way. In that series?
Shout out to Fred.
Him, like, no sleep, driving to Rockford, Illinois.
That's
and
crazy.
Being with his wife, flying to Toronto, all these late-night flights, everything, like, flying just in time to get back for practice. Like, this guy must have had, like, 2 hours of sleep, and then, you know.
And he blacked out.
And then he got a finals MVP vote. This guy snapped, man.
He snapped.
Fred VanVleet is forever slander-proof. This guy's a Toronto legend forever.
Forever, man. Forever. All right, we have EC on line two to talk about ICV.
IC, okay, all right. We've got maybe work on a different name.
Welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Well, how are
you, man? How are you?
I'm pretty good. I actually had two questions.
Okay.
My first question is, like, early in the game, well, you can see that Marcus Gasol, you know, they're running a lot of, like, the high post offense where you got the wings doing, like, the split screens and cutting.
Yep.
And as, like, the game kind of crunches, usually when it's a close game, they kind of stray away from that and just do a lot of high pick and roll.
Yeah.
So why do you think that is? And then my second question after that is just with, you know, as, like, the season goes on, you know, do you think they're going to cut down VanVleet's minutes and Lowry? I've noticed in the last few games, Lowry's about under 35, where before he was usually above that.
Yeah.
But they also played, VanVleet also played 41.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think they're going to cut that down as the season goes and give him some more rest, or do you think this is, like, a sustainable approach?
Well, I think in the Sixers series, I mean, in the Sixers game, he got up to 41. But that was sort of a product of circumstance. Like, he was playing really well, and it felt like they wanted to just get him rolling and in a good rhythm. They had talked about when Fred came back that the plan was to sort of ease him back in more. And originally, he was only playing, like, 30-some-odd minutes. But yeah, that one, I think that was just an on-the-fly call for him. But and the first question, I think that's a good observation. I do think they shouldn't abandon that option with Mark, just because, you know, I mean, in crunch time, like, the Raptors don't have a guy like Kawhi that's so, so good that will always give you. Okay, well, yeah, you're right.
Norman Powell's been cold and down the threat, like, in the clutch for a long time. He's not, like, the kind of player that you trust for 48 minutes, but those last four, he's, like,
I mean, he's willing to take the shot, which is nice. But I'm just saying, like, you know, there's not, like, a clear-cut closer that's so good that you should funnel all your possessions to him. Right? And so I think they could run a little bit more offense for Mark in that situation.
Yeah.
But I also think that, like, late in games, I think teams just have a tendency to get tighter.
Yeah.
And you want to put a run offense that's a little bit less turnover prone. And I'm not saying that play is turnover prone.
Well, making an entry pass to a guy at the top is, like, hard to do.
It's a little harder to do. It's a little easier when the defense is a little chilling, you know, first quarter, second quarter, even third quarter.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter, when defenses are a little bit tighter, it is a little harder to stomach throwing an over-the-top pass that might be picked off and you might get run the other way. But it's not a good enough reason to avoid it altogether, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it's true. Good questions.
Yeah, sick.
All right, have a great weekend. Thanks for calling in.
You too. Bye.
Peace. All right, we'll take one more call from Lawrence in Richmond Hill.
All right, it's a little confusing.
Yeah, it's a little confusing.
Lawrence,
welcome to the show.
Richmond Hill.
Hi, guys. Big fan.
Thank you.
Big fan. I have a few questions. So this is regarding the seeds 2 through 6 right now. I have a series of questions, and I want you to tell me which one you think, which team is most likely to qualify for this statement.
Mm. Oh, okay, so we get it.
Cockiest fan base going into the playoffs.
It might be us. Nah, but for real, I really do think we have, like, crazy championship swagger right now. And it's amazing. It's fully deserved.
Yeah, I also think...
If not now, then when?
I think the Heat fans are like, we have a real team. Like, you guys get to King 4 every year.
Right.
I don't really believe in
that. The Heat fans all have the same coloration as Leo.
I mean, it's because they're in Florida. Anywho, next one?
Team most likely to get swept in the first two rounds.
The 76ers.
Okay. I can see that.
The Pacers won't get swept.
Yeah, I could see the Sixers just imploding, like a Celtics situation. Like, the Celtics didn't get swept last year. They won game one.
Yeah.
When Paul Pierce said it was over. Yeah, Paul Pierce was right. It was over.
It was.
But, yeah, I mean, it could be a situation like that where the team just kind of turns on each other. I think talent-wise, they're a little bit too good to get swept, but, you know. And it's hard to win in Philly. It legitimately is intimidating in that building.
But what if Joel Embiid gets diarrhea for a week and then...
I mean, it's always possible,
It's always possible with that guy.
Yeah, this guy, he can't stop drinking, just, you know, strawberry daiquiris or whatever. What if Joel Embiid gets coronavirus?
Oh, God.
All right, yeah. Okay, next question.
Team most likely to have a breakout star in the playoffs.
Do you want to answer, Will?
I mean, I think it could be the Raptors. I really do. What if
DeMontis Sabonis will arrive as an NBA player.
Man, you know, no one's going to pay attention to the Pacers.
DeMontis Sabonis will arrive as a real NBA player.
I guess it's hard for Pascal or Fred to emerge because they literally just won the NBA Finals. But I can see
Terrence Davis going off for 6 or 7 from 3 in game 3 against, I don't know, the Heat.
Okay, that'd be cool. Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, I think honestly someone on Toronto, just because, again, it's hard. It's a little easier to break out when no one overhypes you. Like, everyone in Philadelphia is overhyped. Everyone in Boston is overhyped, you know?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. I have two more if you have time.
Yeah, go ahead.
Team most likely to surprise in the playoffs?
I think the Celtics, actually. I kind of like the way the Celtics are both for the playoffs.
No, you're not wrong. Yeah. But I do think that, like, Jason Tatum could become, like, is he one of the four best players in the league by the end of the playoffs?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'll get it.
Why? You think so?
I was actually thinking the Pacers myself.
Yeah.
I guess so. That's a good answer, but I still have a lot of respect for the Celtics team. I don't admire them at all, but they're like
I like that they have so many wings that are team. Like actually two-way wings that play together.
It's kind of Warriors-ish, like
in a way
pre KD Warriors-ish, like just look at all these big guys. They're all 6 foot six. What are you going to do about it? And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I love Jaylen Brown, too.
Yeah. No, yeah. Marcus Smart's good. Like,
unfortunately, he is good.
I like the Sixers. The Celtics are the team. I'm like,
and they do have a good coach.
If they go to the finals, am I going to be like devastated in my surprise? No, be devastated in that I don't want to watch the Boston Celtics. I don't want to listen to Bill Simmons puff his chest out after a Game 5 win over the Milwaukee Bucks in round 2.
Wow.
and my last one.
Yeah.
This is actually just a flip of one of the other questions. Team least likely to get swept in the first two rounds?
The Toronto Raptors.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, yeah.
defense. I don't see you with a defense like that. You can't. I don't see it.
Yeah.
Cool.
We're in agreement.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call.
Keep up the content.
All right, thanks, Coolman. Be good.
What that call really proved is that we are definitely the cockiest fan base. But hey, man, we're reigning champions. Like, why would you not, you know, talk a little smack, you know, so. Okay.
All right.
This is the last caller for real.
This is the last caller for real.
Meninder. London, Ontario.
Welcome to the show.
Are you going to Western?
Guys, how's it going?
Are you currently attending Western University? The University of Western Ontario? Whatever.
I do.
All right. Go Mustangs.
You're not doing Fanshawe?
Fanshawe.
No. Okay. No, the main campus.
Okay, good, good.
Salute. What are you studying?
Math and economics.
Salute.
Yeah. Wow.
You going to work at KPMG when you're done?
No. It's much harder to get a job than it seems.
Oh. Yeah, low-key economics is that.
Wait, weren't you an economics major?
I was, yeah. I was able to find the intersection of two lines, which is the answer to 50% of the economics questions in the planet. Menendo, you know the vibes.
You know the vibes. All right, what's your question?
So my question is about the starting lineup. Do you not think we should bring Brad off the bench for a couple of games to see how the rotations might look like? Because he really struggled last year against Philly.
Mm-hmm.
What if he does the same thing this year?
But he cooked Philly down the stretch.
He's cooked Philly twice this year.
Yeah, he's cooked Philly twice.
I don't see a good reason why that would happen again.
Yeah, I don't really mean either. Fred off the bench I like because I think I like his playmaking off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Norm doesn't really bring any playmaking off the bench. But, I don't know, we've talked about it a lot on the show. It's hard to tell the better player to sit down for a guy who's not as complete an NBA player as he is. Yeah, that's where I'm at. Will, do you have a different take?
Yeah, I mean, is it worth looking at? I mean, I guess you could take a peek for like one or two games, but I ultimately, the upside just doesn't, I don't see it for me, because in a playoff setting, Fred and Kyle are both playing 36 minutes at minimum.
Yep.
So, they're going to probably play, 20 of them together?
Yeah.
And so you're looking at, you know, an additional 28 minutes where you need those guys to play separately. And I think you can do that. You can just move the rotation around so that one of those guys are always on the floor at one time.
Yeah.
In the regular season, you don't want to do it as much just because you don't, A, want to extend all their minutes.
Yep.
B, you want to give guys like Terrence and McCaw an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess people are complaining about it. I mean, you know, I've complained about it too sometimes. It is upsetting when the bench can't generate any offense and it's not structured and they, you know, almost give the game away like
Monday.
Atlanta. But at the same time, I do think that these are all just like strictly temporary problems.
Yeah.
You know? And I do like the starting five. The starting five is very good with Fred.
It's fun. They're good.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks for waiting. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Peace. All right. We are low on time, so Stanley suggestions.
It's Stanley suggestion time.
Will, do you have a Stanley suggestion?
Well, I do. This one's maybe the most random one I've had so far.
Yeah.
Yesterday I found myself in North York, and I went to Taj Restaurant, which they serve Uzbek food.
Whoa.
Yes. And first off, it's one of those, to describe the scenery, it was one of those places where there are six TVs on the walls, and they're constantly playing YouTube video with like music appropriate to that culture. So there's constantly that going on.
Yeah.
The food was very good. It was very good. It's my first time eating Uzbek cuisine. It's not too dissimilar to Afghan cuisine.
Okay.
I guess it's not too far away.
Yeah.
There's a lot of kebabs, things like that, some rice dishes, plov. Shout out plov.
Shout out plov.
Yeah. But the best part was the manager came over, and everyone all of a sudden looked like they were, you know, Uzbek. And he came over and he's like, why are you here?
And you're like, oh, do I have to leave?
I was like,
get to one of those places.
Like, because I, you know, I'm hungry. I wanted to have some Uzbek food. And he's like, why? And I was like, what do you mean, why? I'm interested. I don't know much about Central Asia. I'd like to learn the culture a little bit. And he's like, oh, really? He's like, this is amazing. And then he, like, started sending us free dishes and stuff.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, shout out to Taj Restaurant.
That's really good.
It was actually really good food.
Stanley, check it out.
Stanley, man, listen. You might have to drop to North York, but you might have to go on the Allen for it.
Go on the Allen. Shout out. Do you remember when Black Lives Matter Toronto took over the Allen? That was, like, real iconic Toronto stuff.
I don't remember that.
That was like,
but I gotta say, that is probably the least impactful disruption you can make in a road,
like,
in the city.
A major like,
what are you gonna right do? Before, block Black, like, Creek
right before Eglinton is like, cool, but I would have take the gardener down.
It's clogged half the time anyway.
My Stanley suggestion is for him to check out Boozy Fade, a party that happens every so often. I think I've recommended
He'd
it
actually be interested in this.
He would have a great time.
The first one we've done that he would actually do.
At Boozy Fade, Jordan and James do a great job. Tonight, it's at The Shop on Queen Street. Check it out, Stanley, if you get to listen to the show before then.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
Facebook group, too.
It's also a great Facebook group. Yeah.
They discuss movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Host events at TIFF.
If you want to hang with me, I'm going to go see Bad Boys 2 tomorrow. I can't wait. Or Bad Boys 3, Bad Boys for Life. Can't wait. It's going to be time of my life.
Are you worried that it's going to be like Rush Hour 3?
Nah, come on, bro. No. I've heard great things already. I cannot wait. I'm going with all my siblings. It's going to be a really good time. Stanley, if you haven't seen Bad Boys yet, I'm sure you're a big fan.
He's seen Bad Boys. Man.
Will Smith probably directed, sent him a screener. When do we get screeners? Clearly the best Raptors podcast that's ever existed.
Yeah, I guess.
This is the best show. This show's great.
Yeah, all right. I'll gas us then.
Yeah.
Go for it.
We have to gas this show.
Okay.
It's a great crew.
Yeah, we do have a great crew, an amazing crew. And before we let the crew go, let's clear out just like a few YouTube questions. Because, right, you know, it feels bad we didn't neglect them a little bit.
That's true.
Samir asks, what does Norm need to do to become a six-man candidate? Keep doing this?
Yeah, maybe he'll get some votes, but I don't know if he can.
No, if he does it for the rest of the season, he'll get some real votes.
He'll get votes, yeah. Yeah,
I mean, if Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell split the vote, which honestly, they kind of should. They only play with each other, yeah, and they only play well with each other.
Facts.
So, yeah, I mean, listen, if Norm is giving you 20 points a night off the bench,
yep,
and on incredible efficiency,
yep,
why would he not be a six-man candidate? Drake, release a new, release six-man updated.
Booming out of South LA like Norm Powell. Not quite the same ring.
No, you're from South LA. He's from South San Diego or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Shout out. What an iconic Jamaican. All right, from Jeffrey Adminson. If we don't trade Kyle Lowry at the trade deadline, is it harder to trade him in the summer? Yes. Maybe. I don't know. We're not trading Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, we're not trading Kyle Lowry.
Not
this trade deadline, for sure.
It really, like, the free agency class next year is very bad, so it might make sense for a team who's looking to reload to go after a guy like Kyle then. But,
and he's an expiring deal for 2021.
So maybe it is actually easier to trade him in the offseason.
But don't trade Kyle, man. Kyle's a franchise icon. Burke asks, rank the other four teams in the East, Celtics, Heat, Sixers, Pacers. You think it would be the worst matchup for the Raptors in the second or first round? Not that afraid of all of them, to be honest, but I would probably say, I do feel like the Celtics are a little bit of a tough matchup.
Yes.
They just have a lot better wings than the Raptors have wings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
We're going to have Jaylen Brown versus OG. No offense to OG, come on.
But that's hard. It's hard to do.
It's a disadvantage.
Yeah, it's not fun. I would do, Celtics, 76ers, Pacers, Heat.
Okay, yeah.
I'm terrified about the Heat. It, like, all of those games have been weird losses. Like,
bro, they're 8-0 in overtime.
9-0.
They're 9-0 now?
I think it's 9.
Okay, well, I don't want to hate on this team because, like, you know, good job. I like watching the Heat.
I love watching
Eric Spoelstra, you know, Asian solidarity and everything like that. Yeah. You know, of just greatness. Greatness.
Yeah. No,
Asian Nick Nurse. But, like, seriously, I'm tired of seeing this team win overtime, man. Yeah. Every time I get so excited, I'm like, oh, fourth quarter, they're going to collapse. And then they go to overtime and win.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Last question is from Jasper Wong. Do you think Pascal can score one-on-one late game offense against the best defenders in the East? Embiid, Simmons, Adebayo, Giannis, and Sabonis.
That's a tough question.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
That's a tough question. And this is a big question too.
Yes, he can. Like he's not to say this is the only evidence point, but at the end of game six, Pascal hit a very clutch shot over Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm. It was a pick and roll, and Draymond did gamble for no reason.
But I want to believe that Pascal can excel in these moments, and he's shown us in some instances that he can. And I don't know, it's hard. Yeah, like Joel Embiid did kind of dominate Pascal for much of that 76ers series last year.
Mm-hmm.
Adebayo, same, has been a challenge. Giannis is amazing, and Sabonis is a solid player, but
yeah.
Pascal Siakam is right there in terms of talent with those guys, and mm-hmm. it'll be the kind of stuff we'll be watching, very thankfully, mm-hmm. for the next decade, probably, seeing yeah. Pascal go up against these guys. And we have a lot to be excited about. He'll win some, he'll lose some, and...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, here's the question, though. Can Embiid score one-on-one efficiently against Pascal? Yes. Okay, what about against Mark?
No.
Can Ben Simmons score efficiently against
a pylon? Yeah, the rest of those guys, Pascal is...
Can Adebayo score efficiently against Pascal? Can, one-on-one?
No.
Can Giannis score efficiently against one-on-one against Pascal? Maybe. And can Sabonis?
No.
Yeah.
So
we're all kind of in the same
boat. It's rock, paper, scissors.
It really is. So... Anyway, thanks to everyone for calling in. Thanks to everyone who called in on the KFC hotline. Big thanks to KFC for sponsoring the show.
Absolutely.
Josh, thank you for coming on.
Oh, of course. I have so much fun making the show with you.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's the best part of our Fridays. Yeah. It's definitely not Raptors-Knicks.
No, that's going to be a real dog lunch.
It's one of those games where I'm going to have to be cooking while that game is on.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to go to the stadium. That's nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
At least you get to go, you know, live your life.
Yeah, exactly. So thanks, everyone, for calling. And we'll be back next Friday.
Yeah. All right. Be good. Peace.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.